It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, my goodness gracious, I've got too much gain in the cans. Off and running on this 17th day of April 2023. This is The Horn, head on dot live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Oh my goodness, it's tongue-tied Monday, I guess. And it's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And if you do happen to pop into the chat room, you know, long about now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. The early arrivers, in this case, being... Where'd it go? There it is. Squeaky and Theo. And Theo's beloved is celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday, ma'am. I hope it's a joyful one for you. Now, Squeaky and Theo are there. And, of course, capably moderating the this first day of the new broadcast week is Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. And Sparky may wander by later. You never know. Maybe Brother Bishop Steve will be in there soup. Hi, I'm Robin. It is, in fact, More In Monday, and, oh, on the Monday, there are many More Ins. Yes, many of them. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, pretty please like and subscribe on whatever platform you listen to the podcast, be it Podbean or, which is not, by the way, Pondbean. It's Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N. And Apple Podcast, Podcast Republic, Stitcher, TuneIn, what have you. Please like and subscribe and leave a comment. It really does help. And on TuneIn in particular, if you're listening there, well, it would be mighty nice if you would go ahead and mash that little red heart button on TuneIn Radio, because we're on a quest. I'm telling you, it is a quest to get to 1,000 unique individual listeners on our player there. So that would be really helpful. And, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And on Mondays, we have 3 days' worth of gratitude to share. So we say thank you to our 17th, 16th, and 15th day of the month subscribers. That means, there we go. That means thank you so much to Labor Man, our buddy Gary, out in New Mexico. He is our only subscriber for the 17th day of the month. Thank you. Thank you for being there, Gary. And thanks as well to Mark. Thank you, Mark. And thank you to Reinhard on the Virginia coast. Thank you so much. Thanks as well to our buddy Zed out in Iowa. Thank you. And thank you to Robert. Thank you, Robert. And thank you to David up in Oregon. thanks so much, each and every one of you, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping us to keep this little little independent, liberal, progressive broadcast and conversation going for, you know, pert near 20 years. May will mark my actual return to broadcasting back in 2003 in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, right? And so, well, I'm amazed that we're still here. Now, what does that mean for fundraising? That means that the hole is $1,380 deep. That means that today, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, and part of Tuesday of last week are unfunded, which is a little scary. Now, the fact of the matter is there are bills that desperately need to be paid, and I have to pay them. And what's more, you know, there's stuff stuff crops up, and there's stuff cropping up. I've got to deal with the power bill. I've got to deal with bearings. I've got to deal with brakes. I've got to deal with tires. And, you know, the brakes, the bearings, and the tires are all, well, not part of the usual monthly budget. So if we could knock down that $1,380, that would sure be huge. That would be so helpful. So thank you, everybody. Note coming in from Joey. No more watered-down America. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned astronaut James Lovell, the leader of the ill-fated Apollo 13 mission. On this day in history, back when America was great and accomplished great feats, yes, on this day in 1970, the Apollo 13 command module carrying James Lovell, Fred Hayes, and John Swigert entered Earth's atmosphere and splashed down in the South Pacific, ending one of the most tense chapters in space history, considering 4 days earlier an oxygen tank exploded, threatening the lives of the three astronauts and likely ending the Apollo space program for good. As a side note, my second grade teacher had us all gather around her transistor radio to listen for the safe arrival of the astronauts. I thought that was quite brave, considering the fact that the crew of Apollo 13 may have not made it back to Earth, and she would have had to explain the tragedy to the class. The group of engineers working around the clock at the Houston Mission Control came up with a plan to save the astronauts' lives. If America is ever going to be great again and repair this wounded ship known as the United States of America, we will need the politicians to work together. However, with one party only interested in sabotaging this country's comeback, we may never be great again. We may never become the country that has good government, actually affordable health care for all. We may never become the country that has no more income inequality and allows people that work hard the opportunity to move up the socioeconomic ladder. We may never become the country that allows free college tuition so we can educate our young people without pushing them into debt for the rest of their lives. Oh, look. Here's Joey to the kangaroo. We may never become the country that rids ourselves of assault weapons like they did in my home country of Australia back in the late 90s after a horrific shooting in 1996. Junior agrees. At this point, I don't even want to go to school because even though I'm a young giraffe at 6 feet tall, I'm still the tallest kid in the class, which makes me an easy target.
Well, and there's the proud papa, giraffery. Well, good job, Junior, and Joey, too. Also, we may never become the country that leads the world with alternative energy measures such as biomass, geothermal, wind, and solar energy to hopefully save such beautiful places like the Great Coral Reef off the coast of Australia.
And I will jump in editorially and note, I'm a little sketchy about so-called biomass. That's just another way to say we're burning more crap. I know people who deal with biomass plants and, well, it's very similar, it turns out, to living near a coal-fired power plant. Anyway, Joey says prosecuting a criminally intended ex-president is a good start, but if we're going to truly make America great again, these are the issues we're going to have to deal with immediately. It was this month, back in 1887, in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the little town with scum in the middle. Actually, it's another old indigenous word, so I should probably stop making that joke. But in Tuscumbia, Alabama, down near where I grew up, nearby Florence, that Annie Sullivan fingerspelled the word W-A-T-E-R into Helen Keller's hand, at which point Helen Keller realized that objects had names. Water, Helen, it has a name. And here's Jeffrey.
And speaking of Florence, no, not Florence, Alabama, but Florence, Colorado, yes. In Florence, Colorado, sits one of the Boston Marathon bombers on death row. I'll not mention his name because this piece of garbage does not deserve to even have a name after he and his brother activated bombs at the finish line of the Boston Marathon with exactly 10 years ago today, killing and injuring several people.
There's Junior with a mind-blowing thought.
I believe for his execution they should strap him down to a table in the middle of the woods and attach a ticking time-sensitive explosive bomb to his gurney. Let him just lay in wait and wonder as to when he'll be blown to bits.
My goodness, Junior. Sounds cruel and unusual.
Oh, so I think that young giraffe of mine has had a little too much caffeine. You know, young giraffes are called calves.
Oh, now we have Uncle Clarence and Jenny Thomas claiming that the law is not clear on taking bribes from wealthy billionaires like Harlan Crow. Now, Justice Thomas and his wife are claiming there's a gray area when considering all the financial gifts bestowed upon them by the Crow, including Crow eventually buying Thomas's mother's old dilapidated home for an exorbitant amount of money. Clearly, Harlan Crow has alternate motives, ulterior motives, and wanted legislation passed that would favor his real estate dealings. Oh, no, there's Jeffrey again.
Call me a doubting Thomas, but there's no gray area in this story, just like Clarence and Jenny's Thomas's marriage, the situation is clearly,
oh dear,
black and white.
20 years ago this April in 2003, Private First Class Jessica Lynch from Palestine, West Virginia, was rescued by American troops in Iraq. She was unharmed, even though some government officials claim she was badly mistreated. Junior wants to know, what was a Palestine doing in Iraq?
Jeffrey ends, well, Junior, the way the Palestinians have been treated in Israel, Iraq might not be so bad.
Because Jessica Lynch was a Palestinian. And I've been through Palestine many a time. It's in southern Wirt County, West Virginia. I think they still have a Dollar General. No, guys, Jessica was not a Palestinian from the Gaza Strip or the West Bank. She was an American from West Virginia. However, speaking of Palestine, let's talk about East Palestine here in northeastern Ohio, where, as you all know by now, a train derailment effectively destroyed the well-being of the little town of 5,000 residents. Yes. Thanks to Trump rolling back those damn pesky regulations, a brake failure on a Norfolk Southern train was not detected in time, and toxic chemicals were spilled and leaked into the ground and the air. Following a recent train derailment about a month ago. No, but instead of our Republican AG Dave Yost calling for Norfolk Southern to pay for the spill, he was busy making sure that, well, Second Amendment was still intact. At least the AG went after a George Santos type of character who tried to rob the people with a fundraising scam. Again, thanks to the Republicans, East Palestine, Ohio, is now a barely livable place, and the value of the homes, businesses, and the general well-being of the public is all but gone because, once again, Republicans have put corporate greed ahead of the environment and the health and well-being of the people.
And I sure wish that Annie Sullivan were still around, because maybe she could teach these blind, tone-deaf Republicans two words. Clean, C-L-E-A-N, water, W-A-T-E-R. Yes, maggots, it has a name.
And Joey has a little closure of his own. Ron DeSantis, speaking of climate change and water, was in a town near Cincinnati this weekend promoting his book. Sadly, DeSantis' wife was born in Troy, Ohio, not far from Cincy. Instead of DeSantis remaining in Florida, tending to Fort Lauderdale, which was virtually all underwater following a recent storm, I wonder how that happened. He was in Ohio promoting his book. Well, since Florida's in the business of banning books, maybe they should start with the governor of Florida's book. Go home, Ron, and stay there. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, the 17th day of April, with Giraffrey reading the new, just recently released book about Helen Keller called After the Miracle by Max Wallace, featuring the political crusades of Helen Keller. And a reminder, when all the states did their own individual state quarters, the people of Alabama decided that they wanted to put Helen Keller on the back of their quarter. I guess Helen Keller would be the quarterback. So ashamed. Never realizing, of course, and this is the ultimate hilarious irony, never realizing that Helen Keller was at one point a communist and then a socialist and anti-war and a proponent of workers' rights her entire life. How about that? And there's a $25 clean water challenge on the table. If someone could be so kind as to match that, that would get us down from $13.80 to $13.30. And maybe over the course of these couple of hours, maybe get me into a position to pay those mid-month bills. That would be fantastic. As to the East Palestine derailment, Randy Radar says, the trick to the East Palestine train derailment is that the chemicals hadn't yet hit the water table, so politicians were safe initially while photographed drinking the water. Yeah, don't drink the water. Who was that? It's a long jam band song. Don't drink the water. You got to know where to. You got to know where to get what water to drink. Meanwhile, our buddy John in Central PA, subject line Ron DeSantis, says every time I see Ron DeSantis's picture, his face it will ensure barf all over it from his days at Gitmo. I can't unsee it. Oh, with ensure barf. Yes, the inmates barf their ensure. I'm sorry, I was a little slow on the uptake there, John, but I get your point now. Just took a second. And, oh, a reminder, this is the second week of reminders. I have, in fact, changed the Skype address for reaching the program. You know, it used to be Bob Kincaid Horn. Now it's Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, space, Kincaid, H-O-R-N, one word, Robin Kincaid Horn. Not much difference, but... some of you may not have caught on yet. Todd, if you're listening, I need you to send a contact request over there so that, because I just fret about the idea that maybe you might try to call into the old line and think that, you know, you're not getting through. Robin Kincaid Horn. Okay? Yeah. Now, into the wider world of Moran Monday. Wow. Oh, well, no, you know what? I'm going to avoid the swamp for a minute. I am going to say, because it's been a long time since I had any food porn to be proud of. Well, I'd mentioned that Ferg and his beloved found some oxtails. And so, yes, indeed, yesterday afternoon and into the evening, I made oxtail soup, because we're right on the cusp of not being soup time anymore. Soup is a cold weather thing, and this thing is so rich and so wonderful. It really is much more of a stew. Oh, but it was so good. It was so good. You start out by, and I like to use oils that take a lot of heat, can withstand a lot of heat. So I use some avocado oil. And you just season the oxtails with a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. Pat them dry. And then sear them on all sides. Pull them out. Make a little bit of a roux. Now, first you add your celery and your onions, your garlic. Saute that. Add your flour. Make a little bit of a roux. And then add in your beef broth. And your carrots and your onions, more onions, and chunk, you know, you chunk them. And the little tiny multicolored potatoes, red, white, and blue. Actually, red, gold, and blue. And then you step back, put the, I forgot, Worcestershire sauce and red wine. I had a nice Chianti. No fava beans. and put the oxtails back in and let the magic happen and just cover it and let it simmer and reduce and served it up with some crusty sourdough baguette. Oh, it was gone by mid-morning. I think sometime late last night, Ferg had, because when I got up this morning, I said, okay, how many bowls did you have? Like, he kind of looked at me with that sheepish little grin of his and went, three. He enjoyed it a lot. Made me happy. And his mama liked it, too. And the first time I made it down in Birmingham. And that was back when, and Annette said it was the most delicious thing I had ever made in cooking for her for nearly 30 years. So I wanted to make it again. And I got a feeling that's going to become a staple. You know, because, especially in cold weather. Oh, in the dead of winter, it would just be soul satisfying. Jack in Shreveport, Helen Keller. Jack said that comment about Keller realizing that the letters being written on her hand corresponding to the physical water she could drink made me think about your and Dr. Bill's conversations about the cave allegory. Any thoughts or insights on that? That was a long time ago, but I don't know that I can go down that road right now, Jack, but I'm glad you reminded me of it. Oh, and the Dominion lawsuit was set to start today in circuit court in Delaware. What did Delaware, Idaho, Alaska? Shame on me. Sorry. But the judge delayed it until tomorrow. Yes. Thank you for the reminder, Brother Deacon Asa. You never mentioned if Ferg survived the bare-knuckle brawl. No, they had gloves on. Didn't get his teeth bashed in or nothing, did he? No, he didn't. He got TKO'd in the first round. It was kind of a setup. That was the first time he'd ever stepped into a ring, and they put him up against a guy. They put him up against a guy who was actually a trained fighter. So, then the guy punched him in the back of the head a couple of times. Oh, well. And then toward the end of the round, he'd almost made it out of the round. And dude caught him with an uppercut right on the point of his chin. And that's when the birds started singing and he saw the stars and started heading for the mat. So, the worst part of it is he liked it. He enjoyed it. Great. Hello. But he tried. And he's alive to tell the tale. And I would like it a lot if that was the end of it, but... Billable Rick asking the same question, Ferg in the Tough Man competition. Did he come out with all of his body parts intact? Yes, he did. No Disney. No, he's not going to Disneyland. He stayed and watched the rest of the fights, and then the guy who beat him wound up winning the entire weight class. Like I said, it was fixed. The fix was in. It was a boat race. And the next thing you know, I mean, I expected to hear him doing his whole Marlon Brando thing.
It could have been a contender.
Yeah, that's right, Randy Radar. Don't forget the gazpacho police. Ooh, warm weather's coming. Might be time for some gazpacho. I wish I could get creme fraiche around here. It's hard to find. Because there are... there are dessert gazpachos out there. I had a watermelon dessert gazpacho one time that was just, it was beautiful. Thanks for reminding me. Now I'm going to have that on my mind. Randy Radar, you mean a Bond villain enforcer? Not quite. But no, he had trained at a gym. He'd been fighting for 4 years, and yeah. But thanks for asking, everybody. I appreciate that. Now back to the Dominion suit. The judge, without giving a reason, delayed the opening of the trial until tomorrow, and we're going to wait and see if there's some sort of settlement negotiations going on. Apparently, by via a filing with the court, an official statement of the court, Dominion has said it's going to forego its claims of lost revenue in the damages portion of the trial. So that was interesting, and Flavio just said, I'm praying Dominion doesn't settle. I want them to make it hurt for Fox Corp. I don't want Fox Corp to be able to pay to make this go away and not have to admit any wrongdoing. I'm already not liking the fact the judge won't allow audio at the trial, and when we hear talk of a settlement, and the paper announcing possible settlement talks is the Wall Street Journal, that's beginning to stink. Well, and remember, the Wall Street, they're owned by News Corp. Dow Jones is owned by News Corp, which is basically Rupee. And Ralph's echoing the same. I hope there isn't a settlement in the Dominion lawsuit. I get the idea that any settlement would have to include, because this is the nature of settlements. When you settle a case, you do so with an understanding that neither party is particularly happy about the situation. But usually it's all remedied by the inclusion of money damages. And then there's a statement that says everything's going to remain confidential and the defendant does not admit liability. I've followed this fairly closely, and it seems to me that one of the central requirements of Dominion is that they want a clear statement of just exactly what Fox News damned well knew it did. And that is, namely, that they pushed a false narrative that they knew. Well, it's not even the old legal standard of knew or should have known. That they flat out knew was a flat out lie. You know, the stolen election canard. And I don't think Dominion's going to walk away from their pleadings without getting a clear statement of, yeah, we knew we were lying. We were lying because we're liars. And that becomes an executive decision at News Corp and basically Rupee and Lachlan as to whether or not they think it would damage their brand to have to say on air, hey, y'all, we're liars. We lie to you all the time. You, Emery and Marvelline there in your matching Barca loungers down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club, we've been lying all along. We pitch you those Buy Gold Now ads and Hover Round Chair ads. And anything we can do to separate you from your money, but mostly we like to keep you scared. And we're liars. And if Dominion's lawyers lean into that, well, Fox's lawyers may say, yeah, you know, they're not wrong. And then it becomes a matter of whether Rupee can stand to walk out in public and say, hey, of course, I'm a lawyer. Been lying all my life. You might say it's my brand. Of course, Dominion has spent a small fortune, I imagine, just as Fox has, on lawyers in this case. And $1.6 billion would go a long way toward paying the lawyers now, wouldn't it? So there's that. Also on today's More and Monday list, oh, and thank you so much, Kim, a dear friend I made while I was on the road in Princeton. Kim, thank you so much. Kim from Princeton jumping in, matching and exceeding Joey's challenge. So that means we're down to 1325, keeping all of this on the air. Thank you, Kim, so very much. I appreciate it. That's just really kind. And it's great to hear from you again. I thank you all the time. So away we go. See if we can get down below 1,300 or maybe get, you know, all of last Tuesday funded. That would be 125 would fund all of last Tuesday before we get to tomorrow. And that reminds me, I need to check. Check the calendar to make sure I'm not going to have to be gone or anything. The week looks absolutely clear. So that's good. All of that, of course, is subject to the whims of Shentel Internet and Appalachian Power as to whether they keep the bills going, or not the bills, but the lights on. This time last week, I was sitting right here at about this time making all those Yosemite Sam cussing noises.
Wagstag and not pulled, but Frazzleck and
because the internet was out. Because the meth heads can't figure out fiber optics and they think we're still running on copper. And so there we are. But fingers crossed. Had a little bit of rain over the weekend. Nothing scary. And maybe we'll just have a nice, ordinary, to the extent anything is ever ordinary here, in the 15 microsecond news cycle. To the extent anything's ever ordinary anymore, maybe we'll just have an ordinary broadcast week. It's a New Jersey kind of night, so far, fundraising-wise. Kim jumping in and Ralph's there in New Jersey as well. And so we are now down to $1,300. Thank you, Ralph's. You are a dear. Thank you so much. So now we are $100 away from being funded for last Tuesday. Wonderful. Thank you. Let's see here. I being it's Morian Monday, and Morian Monday is a day for noting, if not celebrating, the Morians.
Get a brain, Morians.
In the right wing in America. It's hard not to begin it with the dumb little circus that came to New York City today. Jim Jacket Off Jordan, you know, for some reason or another, he can never even so much as wear a sport coat. Maybe it's because of his bulging biceps or something. But Jim Jacket Off Jordan took the House Committee on the Judiciary on the road to hold a hearing today in Gotham on crime in New York. And so they held a hearing. Can you see the finger quotes? A hearing on that topic. And it didn't work at all well. The spirochetes were shrieking each to each in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of people like Jim Jacket Off Jordan and Pass for Brains. And the paranoia ran rampant. outside the hearing, protesters arrived. And did some chanting outside the hearing room. Yeah, the protesters were carrying signs that said, "Indict Jordan." They were calling Jim Jacketoff Jordan a traitor. And in fact, they could clearly be heard inside the hearing room. Because this is all part of an... you know what Joey said earlier about, can we ever get back to whatever America we used to be? That touches on this. A duly elected prosecuting attorney in Manhattan doing his prosecutorial job investigated via a grand jury allegations of criminal conduct. The fact that they happened to be against Donald John Trump, the soak, son of a Klansman, is actually immaterial here. But nonetheless, they are trying to intimidate Alvin Bragg or at least to poison the jury pool or something along those lines to try to get Nitwit Nero out from under the charges. And I've wondered, given, I mean, especially this, this is one of those moments where you see the dynamic tension in the Constitution of the United States. Because there is no doubt, I've heard them referenced by a number of commentators, the state of New York has criminal statutes against witness intimidation or obstruction of justice, which is exactly what Jim Jacketoff Jordan and his minions were engaging in. They're trying to intimidate Alvin Bragg into running away. And the problem here is that if Jim Jacketoff Jordan was not a member of Congress, you could probably indict him via the grand jury for something illegal. But then there's the Constitution speech and debate clause. And even though Jim Jacketoff Jordan went to a law school where you get your degree by drawing a picture of a turtle and sending in the back of a matchbook, I'm sure he knows a little something about the speech and debate clause, because it says you cannot punish a member of Congress for what they say in speech and debate. I mean, that's the condensed version. And so since these attempts to intimidate Alvin Bragg were couched under the fraud of a congressional hearing into something about which it has no jurisdiction, because again, remember, it was said to actually be about crime in New York, when in fact it was about one particular criminal in New York. Well, he's probably untouchable. But the paranoia was thick enough to cut with a knife. Jim Jacketoff Jordan said,
He should testify before the committee.
In fitting fashion, Alvin Bragg replied by Twitter and said the House GOP continues to attempt to undermine an active investigation into an ongoing New York criminal case with an unprecedented campaign of harassment and intimidation. And he's right. He is correct. And if somebody who was not a member of Congress was doing this, there would probably be an indictment. Meanwhile, Alvin Bragg has now filed a lawsuit against Jim Jacketoff Jordan. Alleging that what Jordan is doing is an unprecedentedly brazen and unconstitutional attack on a case in which Jordan has no jurisdiction. Jerry Nadler, the ranking minority member on the committee now, said it is an outrageous abuse of power. It is, to use the chairman's favorite term, a weaponization of the House Judiciary Committee. Adam Schiff of California. These people were all prepared. He said the hearing is a vain attempt to intimidate or embarrass the prosecutorial authority. They would have you believe it's a mere coincidence that all of a sudden, out of the blue, the chairman decided that the state of New York is a wonderful place to do a hearing. Yeah, how about that? And Adam Schiff went on to say that people like Jim Jacketoff Jordan are basically serving as criminal defense counsel for Nitwit Nero, and he's not wrong. They brought Capitol Police with them to New York, and some maggot had to be dragged out for screaming at Adam Schiff. And then one of my favorite members of the House, David Cicilline from Rhode Island, he kind of got Jim Shorts Jordan in the tender spot. Hi, Charlene, by the way, Rogues Island. Because he suggested that maybe the hearing needed a change of venue. That the hearing might need to be held in Jim Jacketoff Jordan's district, where the homicide rate is 3 times higher than it is in New York City. David Cicilline said, how do we move the venue so we can have a hearing in a city or state that has a serious crime problem? You know, the state of Ohio. Ow. It's going to leave a mark. So that was the scene in New York. And eventually, like I said, the paranoia kicked in. I'm frankly surprised they didn't get around to talking about fluoride mandrake in little children's ice cream. Harriet Hageman, the maggot from Wyoming who defeated Liz Cheney, and let her freak flag fly, as it were, her maggot freak flag. The whole thing was called the Victims of Violent Crime hearing at the Javits Federal Building. And Harriet Hageman got mad at a woman named Rebecca Fisher because Rebecca Fisher is an advocate for gun safety. And because Harriet Hageman comes from the real America, you know, Wyoming, Harriet Hageman said, well, we have all this gun violence because of moral decline in America. And then said that and found a way to get the trans panic into her remarks. And along the way, though, going after Ms. Fisher, she said that she, wait for it, secretly smiled. I've never heard of secret smiling. Does anybody know how to do that? But no, really.
With the gentlelady from Wyoming, Ms. Hageman.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone for being here. I represent the state of Wyoming. There are 560,000 people in my state. I grew up.
She's the only representative from the state of Wyoming, so those 560,000 people are kind of SOL. There's probably more people in one borough of New York. Say, I don't know, Queens. Than there are in Wyoming. Harriet Hageman actually represents more cattle than human beings. And because I know a few New Yorkers, hi Lee, hi Tara, hi Kim, I can imagine I can imagine the response to having a Wyoming cowgirl come to New York and lecture New Yorkers about moral decline. I think there are phrases New Yorkers are known to use that, yeah.
Outside of a town of 350 people, I currently live in our largest city of 60,000 people. I want you to know, Mr. Alba, Ms. Harrison, Ms. Brame, Mr. Bergen, we pay a lot of attention to what goes on here. Mm-hmm. We know about you.
We're watching
when
you.
When I read about your situation, Mr. Alba, and what happened to you the next day after it happened, I prayed for you. I prayed for your family.
Oh, did she?
As I read the testimony that you have provided to us today, it makes my heart break to know.
Oh, Harriet Hageman said tots and pears. Oh, I'm so touched. Did the tots and pears do any good at all? Hell no!
That you, as family members, have gone through something so devastating. But to make it even worse, our criminal justice system has treated you as so poorly since that you have gone through these things. I will tell you, it has been interesting to listen to you talk about your loved ones, talk about the fear that you faced with this situation, Mr. Alba, the loss that you're still suffering from 18 years later after losing your loved one, how much love you have for your son, how much love you have for your son and your family and your community. And I do want you to know that we're not here for grandstanding. We're not here for anything other than the fact that we're recognizing that across the country.
See, if there really was a real God like she thinks there is that she prays to, there would have been a lightning bolt come down out of the sky, and there would have been nothing but a greasy spot left of Harriet Hageman for lying and saying, we're not here for grandstanding. That's the only... Okay, that's not the only reason they're there. They're also there to try to intimidate Alvin Bragg, see if maybe they can't get a little stochastic terrorism going on, because, you know, that's who they are.
Country. There is a sickness pervading our communities that is destroying who and what we are. And it's not just about guns. I watched you, Ms. Fisher, as you secretly smiled at some of the Congress members on the other side.
Told you. Ms. Fisher secretly smiled. I've been trying to figure out how to secretly smile. Is Harriet Hageman saying she made googly eyes? And who is she secretly smiling at? Are there hand signals involved? I remember when my member of the West Virginia legislature, you know him well, at least know about him, his name's Tom Fast, he's dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass, and he spends every waking moment thinking about the homosexuals. And back during the Obama administration, Tom Fast said that Barack Obama was giving secret gang hand signs. Oh, yeah, I know. I know. Well, now we have secret smiles. Yeah, here where I live, I'm just waiting for Secret Sandwich Society to open back up. If I don't get some fries and pimento cheese soon. I mean, it's been years now. A kid. Secret smiles? I see you smiling secretly. Well, it wasn't very, she wasn't very good at secreting then, was she?
You secretly smiled at some of the Congress members on the other side as people on our side talked about the gun issue.
They've never talked about the gun issue for a freaking microsecond. If they did, maybe we'd have less gun violence. They talk about trans people attacking Christians. Yeah, I've even got we've got a marginal trailer queen sighting for later. Oh, dear.
I understand. You believe that it is an inanimate object that somehow can create or cause the mass shootings, that it's not the individual. One of the things that has struck me today is that as we talk about these mass shootings, nobody has talked about the drugs that these people were on. Nobody has talked about the psychology of this. We just had a woman.
Yeah, because Harriet Hageman is a psychologist, I'm sure. No, she's not. She's not. But, you know, they're on the drugs. She doesn't sound as insane as, say, Clanny Granny Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, or as bizarre as Marginal Trailer Queen waiting for the gazpacho police to come and haul her away. She just sounds like a Midwestern mom. But she's worried about the drugs these kids are on. All the drugs. I know, Ralphs. I know. Everybody's all, what? Yeah. Steve in New York, who would know, having lived both in Ohio, the Buckeye State, and in New York, Steve says, why else were they there? You can't get good bagels in Columbus. I thought the same thing. You know, if I lived in Jim Jacket Off Jordan's district, I'd look for a way to get the government to pay for me a few days in New York, too. Probably kind of nice there right now. Go down to Essa Bagel. God, I love the jalapeno cheddar bagels. Oh, they're so good. That would be a carb cheat for me that day. With the jalapeno cream cheese. Yeah. Sorry, I got a bit distracted there for a moment. Go over to that pickle place somewhere down around Lower East Side. Get one of those. Oh, yeah, the pickles are fabulous. Still love that, Ralphs. What? I know. Jack in Shreveport says, has Harriet ever said anything about her heartbreaking when her party either cuts or tries to cut school lunch programs, local libraries, SNAP benefits, Social Security, health care, and on and on and on and on? Oh, yeah. Did her heart break for the Capitol Police that died or were injured and their families during the right-wing terrorist attack, the domestic terrorist attack of January the 6th, 2021. That's the same Capitol Police her committee dragged along for their show. Christopher in Oregon, Jacket Off Jordan takes Manhattan. If Jim Jacket Off Jordan were a Muppet, which one would he be? So who is this his star witness going to be? Escape from New York, Snake Plissken? Maybe Isaac Hayes is the Duke, too? All these criminals criminalating.
Brooga, brooga, brooga. Warble, warsh, narf. I can't believe this is real, Christopher says. Well, Christopher, it is. We, the Horn family, said for months, Christopher continues, before the midterms, that if the cons took over, it would just be 2 years of monkey feces flinging. Well, we sure as hell weren't wrong, were we? No, we seldom are. You can see what they are. You can see what they're going to do. You can see how they behave. They are... God, they're a Ouija board with three letters, GOP. And it doesn't matter if the magic eight ball with the cracked screen always says answer hazy last, ask again later. No, we weren't wrong. Secret smiling. Been working on mine all day. Maybe I'll get dolled up and post some pictures of my secret smile. I'm doing it now. Thank God this isn't video. Harriet!
The drugs that these people were on. Nobody has talked about the psychology of this. We just had a woman in shoot and kill three young children and three teachers, and yet no one...
Really? Had a woman do that? It's a lot easier to understand the Covenant Christian School if you understand he was a trans guy. Another white guy with a gun, shooting people.
Has talked about what kind of drugs she may have been taking, what kind of psychosis she was suffering from. Clearly she was suffering from a psychosis.
Well, thank you, Dr. Freud. Yeah, clearly suffering from psychosis. Because, well, frankly, Harriet Hageman here reminds me of former Senate Majority Leader Bill the Cat Killer Frist. Remember the Cat Killer? Who diagnosed Terry Schiavo in a persistent vegetative state, diagnosed her as gonna get up and go walk about any minute now because he saw a videotape of her? This is that. They're so laughably, transparently awful, but the problem is they have power.
Claimed that she was a boy when she was a girl. We have to be looking at those kinds of things. It's not the guns. It's what we're teaching.
Told you she'd work in the trans panic. I don't just do things. I don't just make things up.
What kind of psychosis she was suffering from. Clearly she was suffering from a psychosis. She claimed that she was a boy when she was a girl. We have to be looking.
Yeah, time out, Harriet. I knew a girl in college named Harriet. She insisted we call her Heidi. I understand. No, Harriet. Being trans is not a form of psychosis. You can spend all week long and go back twice on Sunday, and you will never find being trans listed as even a mental illness in the Diagnostical and Statistical Manual, 5th edition. It ain't there. But facts don't matter to this lot. The cruelty is the point.
Looking at those kinds of things. It's not the guns. It's what we're teaching in school. It's the rot in our culture. It is the fact that we are losing our society because we're unwilling to recognize that there is evil.
Wait. Did you catch the dog whistle? I caught the dog whistle. It's what we're teaching in schools. Critical race theory, brooga brooga. LGBTQ stuff, brooga, 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 narble, wharf, whoosh. What we're teaching in schools. Why ain't we teaching the reading, the writing, and arithmeticin? It's all there. You just have to have an internal translator.
Evil, and when...
Oh, I said translator, didn't I?
There's evil. We need to address it. When someone does something to your family members that is illegal, we need to take them off the streets. We don't need to try to figure out what may have happened in their background. If they've done something, if they've stabbed a beautiful young man as they did your son, they need to be taken off the street and they need to be punished. We need to protect our law-abiding citizens and we need to protect our communities. We also need to protect our police officers.
I think that was the first time I heard her breathe.
With the gentlelady from
West. Oh, my God. He was about to say the gentlelady from West Virginia, and I can't.
I just can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
That would be Carol Cat Lady Miller. Crazy Cat Lady. That's an insult to cat ladies everywhere, of whom I am one.
Meow.
And Kyle's not in the room right now, neither is Sox, so... There's always an excuse. And you'll notice they brought in the families of victims of stabbings. See, they're dead too. There was a knife. Well, Bob Lee was stabbed to death in San Francisco by a guy who may have been engaged in some sort of revenge killing. And of course, that immediately causes all the gun humpers to yell, see, you can be killed with a knife. Utterly missing the point that it would be comparable if somebody was able to show up with a thing that, like, threw 100 knives at 100 different people at the same time. I know, Stephen New York says, the drugs! Who knew that the U.S. is the only place in the world with mental health issues, psychotropic medication, and trans people? That's why other countries don't have as much freedom. Wolverines! Please, Steve implores me, make the hearing. Make it stop. I know. It's over now, Steve. It's over. It's okay. It's going to be all right. The crazy people will be leaving your city soon. Or the most dangerously crazy people. Hey, Scary Jerry. Scary Jerry says, I fucking love New York. I love the smell of loud in the morning. And a visual, which I can't describe on the air, not because it's profane or appeals to prurient interest, but just because it's just shows the Statue of Liberty and behind it. Oh, I get it now. Yeah. Somebody is reaching a giant blunt, it looks like, down toward the torch of the Statue of Liberty, and it's got that loud, fam. And Steve adds, gun violence because of moral decay, moral decline? You mean like a Christian school in Nashville? No, that was the psychosis, not the moral decline. The kids were going to school there trying to keep from having their morals declined, but then the psychotrans came in, and we're not going to talk about the fact that he had 7 weapons, semi-automatic weapons with him, which he had been able to purchase legally. And nothing could be done about because Tennessee doesn't have red flag laws. All of that blather from Harriet Hageman, Harriet, and not a word about red flag laws. Because, of course, not. But since we mentioned Tennessee, the guy who runs the Tennessee Holler, remember his house got shot up in the last week or so, with his family in the house at the time? Well, he's gotten an audio recording that was leaked to him of the maggots in the Tennessee House of Representatives being real butthurt over the fact that people were calling them racists because they are. Absolutely tore plumb up because people were calling them racist for doing racist things. For instance, at the beginning of the recording, State Representative Jason Zachary is real mad about being called a racist, and then he gets mad at representing Jody Barrett, also a maggot, for being the lone vote to keep the white lady in the House. Gosh, I confess, I think this is, I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
Please forgive me if my comments are not going to talk this right way. I think now, more than ever, everyone should recognize that Democrats are not our friends. I listened for the last 3 days to Democrats, Sam McKinney, to Chisholm, to Parkinson, to trash us as racist. I've never had anybody call me a racist. And for the last 3 days, all I have heard from them is how this is the most racist place. One of these white supremacists. Good Lord, we have to realize they are not our friends. They can
Wait. They called racists doing racist things racists, and they're not our friends. Now, this was an actual Tennessee Republican House caucus meeting.
Smile, man, that doesn't mean I can't be polite to them, but they are not our friends. They destroy the Republic and the foundation of who we are, or we preserve it. That is the reality where we are right now. And if these last 3 days have not proven that, you need to find a new job. There has never been a more important time for us to be unified. There are 75 of us.
Yeah, they gotta be unified. They gotta have some white supremacist unity there. I ain't never had nobody call me a racist before. It's terrible. It's terrible. A white supremacist for doing something a white supremacist would do? Well, great heavenly days.
Let them call their name, of the names they're going to call them. We need to move forward. We need to pass the gun bill. We need to pass the pronoun bill, wherever Mark is. Man, we do not slow down because of their traps. We can't. The only way we move forward with some sort of unity is to call out what happened on the House floor the other night.
Yes, sir.
I feel like we were hung out to dry by a couple of members. And
this is when it's going to start getting personal. But did you notice they got the trans panic into it, too? We passed a pronoun bill. We got to keep moving forward. You know, give them long enough. Once upon a time, this was a very long time ago. I want to be fair. But once upon a time, I think it was the state legislature of Alabama that tried to legally define the value of pi as 3. Really? Well, I expect Tennessee or Kentucky Stan or one of these maggot states to eventually just criminalize the use of pronouns at all for anybody. What are all these pronouns? This is just a bunch of new age stuff. Somebody actually said that to me on Facebook, that using cis and trans and referring to pronouns. Where did this ever come from? We never talked about We never talked about... Honey, we is a pronoun. But they got to stick together, and somebody didn't stick.
And Jody, I'm just going to say it here because you signed a letter. You straight up came to me and said you were 100% where I was. And you went on the House floor, and you did the opposite. Man, you hung us out to dry. And I like you personally. This is not personal. And if Brian Terry was here, I'd say the same thing to him. This would have been bad anyway, but dear God, we were called, we brought the racism into it because you didn't stay with us. But I need to know, and I don't want to hear why there wasn't a preponderance of evidence or an attorney. I need to know why you flipped your vote at the last minute. You didn't let them know beforehand. Giving Johnny a 15-minute heads-up doesn't cut it. And if Brian Terry was here, I want to hear from him, too. I have to know.
We're going to kick the staff out. This is the place to say. I haven't lied to anybody. Not one time. And it pisses me off to suggest that I have. And so-
this is funny. That line means something. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the poor audio. But it's worth the time it takes simply because this means that someone arranged for that recording to be made. Did you hear that line? We kick the staff out. If there's a time to say anything, this is the time. And that crispy, crunchy sound you're hearing, it's probably somebody's clothing rubbing across the microphone of their phone as it records. And that's why it's a little bit muddy. But they thought that they could say the quiet part out loud because nobody was listening. And that kind of means there's a mole. Because the staff has been kicked out. Somebody in the Republican Party of Tennessee cannot be trusted. And this isn't something as innocuous as a secret smile.
Some of my friends in here suggested that I lied, and that's bullcrap. I walked into that room to vote to expel all three of them, just like all y'all. And the letter that I sent to the speaker, it says exactly what it says. Throw the book at it. Everything you've got. It doesn't say expulsion. It's not in there. But it doesn't matter. I was walked into that room ready to vote before we ever started on Jones. I got a list of questions from Johnny Garrett. Johnny said, you're on the list that the speaker has to ask questions. Sat there through Jones, made notes. I went to Johnny and said, Johnny, can I go off script? Johnny says, yeah, go for it. Speaker never called me. We voted. I hit the green vote because that's what I'm there for. Then we get into the floor and immediately the questions start coming up.
So this again is... representing Jody Barrett, who couldn't bring himself to throw out the white lady. Did you hear that line? I pressed the green button because that's what I'm here for. Yeah, he's there to do the bidding of Cameron Sexton, the Speaker of the Tennessee House. And do racist things.
About the resolution. I know what she did. I know that she did broke the rules. And I know that she deserves to be expelled. We got to do it right. And that wasn't right. While this is going on, Reader came to my desk and said, hey, you think we're doing good? I said, no. We haven't established the case. Gino's had two cracks at her, and the only thing he's established is that she stood at the well. That's it. Didn't fix any of the problems with the resolution. He didn't establish that she'd been here 10 years or 12.
You know... he's had two cracks at her. Isn't it interesting when the misogyny, when the goddess of irony causes the misogyny to just come roaring out of the mouths of these maggots? And all this under the guise of making Tennessee great. He had two cracks at her. Yeah, hit her again. I can put a little stank on it. They are who they are.
And knew the book better than the other two. Why were we still in session? Because we're in between bills. Why did you get gaveled out of order? Because the speaker had to get order. Was disorderly conduct and caused chaos in this whole place. That line of questioning is exactly what I told the leader I needed to ask, because we don't have it right now. He didn't sit there and say, you need to vote yes anyway.
He didn't quit my vote. He walked off. He didn't go to the speaker until the speaker called on him. So if you're all going to come all at me and single me out, and only three of y'all called me this weekend to check on me, I'm going to defend myself. I told leadership what was going on. I told them I had problems. I had questions. I had a plan to fix it. When the question got called, I went to John. I said, John, do we have the votes? He said, well, nobody else changes their vote. We should be fine. Why are you not going to vote yes? And I explained it. And I went back to my desk. I sat there and had my internal debate on what to do. Then the bell rings. I'm concerned that I'm going to vote yes on a resolution that I know is wrong. We didn't establish that she did all that other stuff. All we established is she walked from there to there. As much as I hate to give John Ray any credit for anything, the smartest thing he said the whole season I've been up here. Darren Jernigan in the back of the room says, we can't vote on a resolution that's poorly drafted. And he's right. It's more that we were screwing it up and put my name on something that I knew that was going to be in the annals of history as being wrong. No different than some Democrat that's going to be on a jury for Donald Trump.
Wait a minute. Now, see, that's the whole... That.
Me putting my name on a resolution and I know it's going to be wrong? That's the same as a Democrat going to be on the jury for Trump.
Because that's what they thought was going to do it for them. When the protests in the House over children being slaughtered by weapons of war that have no business in civilian hands erupted in the Tennessee House, the Republicans just knew they had their talking point.
See, this Democrats does insurrections too. This here is just like January the 6th, 2021. This here is an insurrection.
The only thing was, nobody was there putting up a gallows singing, we'll hang Cameron Sexton from the sour apple tree. Nobody was stampeding through the halls of the Tennessee House, breaking windows and, well, you know, pooping on the floors. No, that's a maggot thing.
Trump and folks who convict him, even though they know that it's voted for Biden. This resolution's got copied and pasted. All they changed was the name. She didn't do the things that were in the resolution.
I said, oh, great, Mr. Speaker, have you on the list? You said, yes. Did I walk away your desk and never agree that you were voting?
No.
I just thought you had some other questions that were going to deal with the case. And I didn't mean to, like, walk off without getting additional information. I didn't take it that you were throwing rocks at Daniel at that time. But I knew you had some questions. I mean, you know, to sign a letter and then for the other 65 of us to all think it's the right thing, I get that you feel strong enough. I mean, at this point, do you feel strong that you did the right thing? Or is there any party that feels one how bad about that the rest of us got hung out and dry?
1,000% I did the right thing. I went back and watched it again. I watched the video. Bottom line is you went into that chamber. We had a slim vote count. You went into that chamber. You were a yes. And you straight up asked me, are you 100% where I am? And I said, I'm all three expelling no matter what. You said, we're in the same spot. It hung us out to dry. One vote. And if Terry was here, I'd do the same thing to him.
We had the jury already. This obviously wasn't a trial. But I knew every single one of your...
No, hell no, it wasn't a trial. It was a... Oh, dear. High-tech lynching.
I knew that we did not have to convince you all. When you came up to me about 2 minutes left of Gloria's final closing and said we didn't do it, I was shocked. In my humble opinion, her by moving from her desk to the well without decision, without being recognized, was enough for me to figure out how I was going to get off expulsion. So I was taken back. I was also taken back that you wanted to ask me questions because that would have made a difference. It's going to take some time for all of us to digest your reasoning to Pearson. I wanted to tell him protesting from the middle of the well is a one-way conversation. No legislation in the history of the world has ever been passed under protest.
Oh, dear. I don't think they're going to let him play in their reindeer games anymore.
Always a two-way.
Rabid reindeer.
And that's been lost. And they reduced each and every one of us, including each and every one of our constituents, to sometimes a simple protest. And so that, to me, was paramount of what all three of them did by virtue of that simple walk from Gloria's desk in the middle of the well without that permission, really regardless of what the resolution did say. I think we do understand how important we all are when a hot vote is like it was and then you change.
Surprise is one that's a difficult thing to deal with. There's going to have to be, I think, some time before there's probably some trust reestablished. I would have known that I had to convince you all. I think Gino, I think Carl.
I love the fact that these white men are
gabbling on and on and on about us. We're going to have to take some time to reestablish some trust among us. And all the while, it's being recorded. And the calls are coming from inside the house.
I think others that have thought about that process would have been handled a whole lot differently. That's where the element of surprise has got to be removed. Because that surprised me. But all of a sudden, we had to convince the members after we had asked them so much what they were on this.
I've taken positions up here against leadership. If you believe Gloria's resolution was wrong, you have the right to file an amendment and go talk to leadership. I think the problem I'm having is if we don't stick together, if you don't believe we're at war for our republic.
And there it is. They're at war.
You need a different job. The left wants Tennessee so bad.
Now, why would the left want Tennessee so bad? Like it's a hunger or something. The left wants Tennessee so bad. Well, I mean, it's true. Early on in that little dust-up back that began back in 1861, one of the first states to fall pretty early. I mean, there's still more fighting, but it was Tennessee. And the Union had control of Nashville and control of the Cumberland River pretty quick. And that, of course, enabled Union forces to push further into the heart of the South by going down General Grant and disembarking at a little place called Pittsburgh Landing. Had a little church nearby named Shiloh. He whipped Albert Sidney Johnson's forces, killed Albert Sidney Johnston, and that opened Mississippi. And they marched into Mississippi, and they marched into Alabama. Next thing you know, Vicksburg is under siege. Surrendered on July the 4th, 1863. And the war in the West was pretty much a done deal. And that's when General Grant looked at General Sherman and said, "You like barbecues? I like barbecues. Why don't you go and barbecue the South, William Tecumseh Sherman?" Sherman looked at him, chewed on his cigar for a moment, and said, "Got light? They want Tennessee so bad.
Because if they get us, the Southeast falls. And it's game over for the Republic. This is not a neighborhood social gathering. We are..."
Hold the hell on! If Tennessee falls, the Southeast falls. Listen to him. It's not just me going back in history because I can't help it. They see themselves as being in a war. They are in what they consider to be a political civil war. We're fighting for the republic of our country right now. These fascists, and it's often the case with fascism, they leverage nationalism and jingoism and sloganeering. And no one has a longer memory about the Civil War than Southerners do. I've mentioned it before. There are still people driving around the back roads of Tennessee and Alabama, Georgia-stan, Mississippi-stan, with bumper stickers and decorative plates on the fronts of their cars that show a grizzled old Confederate veteran in gray with the devil's diaper on a flagpole over the slung over his back like a... And underneath it simply says, "Forget Hale." They're not just
fighting a war that in their mind is in the present, they're trying to right the wrong of their defeat in 1865. William Faulkner, I forget in which book, writing about how in every Southern boy's mind, there is that moment right before the word charge is yelled, when the South has not yet been destroyed at Gettysburg and Pickett's charge. And you can practically hear Faulkner lamenting it. Utterly divorced from the reality of what they were fighting for. And these white dudes are still fighting the same fight. They're like those Japanese soldiers who never found out the war was over and lived in the jungle for 30 years and were only found in like 1975 on some far-flung island in Indonesia or the Philippines. I don't know, Ralphs. Ralph says, will they discover who recorded this conversation? I hope not. I hope not. Because I want them to continue having to wonder. Thanks for this audio on Tennessee, Jack in Shreveport says. I've been wondering about the circumstances surrounding the person who voted differently for Johnson. This is the first I've heard about it at all, when as far as I could tell, the names and votes were displayed on an electronic screen in the chamber at the time of the vote. There was one guy who held out and said, we ain't proved the charges. I think two-thirds of the way through, he realized he had screwed up monumentally. But the optics he created, keeping the white lady and getting rid of the two black guys, that made it abundantly clear what the goal was. If Cameron Sexton could have stood in the doorway of the Tennessee House and done his best George Wallace impression, by God, I think he would have.
We're fighting for the republic of our country right now. And the world is staring at us. Are we going to stand our ground?
Stand our ground. Yeah, maybe with your AR-15s and you can start shooting. It's funny how the mistakes of 158 years ago reverberate through history.
I've gotten multiple phone calls from other representatives going, we sure hope you guys stand up, because maybe you'll give us the courage to stand up and push back against what's going to destroy our republic. You should have told leadership ahead of time if you had a doubt. By God, when you change your mind, you should have been screaming in the speaker's ear going, I'm a nobody, sir. How does that affect your life? If Brian Kerry was standing here, I would be telling Brian Kerry, you should have went to the speaker and said, I'm changing my vote. And if it put us at 65, somebody would have taken you behind the dais and explained to you why this is important. But it would have given us the opportunity to not throw the rest of us under the bus.
Notice that's what they're worried about. They got thrown under the bus. They don't realize that if they'd thrown the white woman out too, it still would have been racist. It's almost like these numbskulls, these Klansmen, these, and I'll bet you, there's white supremacists in there. You're damn right they are. But no, this is what happens when you don't learn history. They're teaching critical race theory. You know what part of critical race theory is? History. It's just history. And Stephanie Johnson became a modern-day Viola Liuzzo. Murdered on a back road in Alabama, not far from Selma, murdered by the Klan. And she's a hero of the struggle for civil rights, too. And she was a white woman.
but they don't know history. All they knew is they were mad because they were called out on their fetish objects. They were having a terrible sad over those poor put upon semi-automatic weapons of war. And they needed to defend the Republic because to them, of course, and this is important, the only part of the Republic that matters to them is the Second Amendment. That's it. Well, and using the First Amendment as a life support system for the religion industry. That's it. Equal protection of the laws? Eh. Due process? Eh. Procedural or substantive? Eh, eh. And in the South, they have this fetishization of guns. Because they really do. They replay the Civil War in their heads. And they're still mad about it. If only. You know, what are some of them? If only, generally, Gettysburg, Longstreet. If only Longstreet had gotten up the hill a little bit faster, then the Union could have been wiped out on the second day. If only some dumbass North Carolinian Tar Heel hadn't plugged Stonewall Jackson, he would have been available at Gettysburg, and instead of George Pickett with his oiled locks. White Southern men and some white Southern ladies, women, spend more time than most people are willing to credit thinking about if only. What if? And never for a moment considering the real point of the what if. What if we could have just continued to enslave a significant portion of the population of the United States of America? What if we could have just continued to deny basic rights of citizenship? I mean, they went on to do it for another 100 years anyway. And they are so butthurt that people have described them accurately.
Leadership ahead of time, if you had a doubt. By God, when you change your mind, you should have been screaming in the speaker's ear going, I'm a no-vote, sir. How does that affect your vote? If Brian Kerry was standing here, I would be telling Brian Kerry, you should have went to the speaker and said, I'm changing my vote. And if it put us at 65, somebody would have taken you behind the dais and explained to you why this is an important vote. It would have given us the opportunity to not throw the rest of us under the bus. I've been called a racist, a misogynist, a white supremacist more in the last 2 months of my life than I have my entire life.
Well, maybe you've behaved like a racist, a misogynist, and a white supremacist more in the last 2 months than you have in your entire life. Sometimes actions have consequences.
By golly, I'm biting my tongue. But I'm telling you, Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, these days are wearing thin right now. And I'm going to have to swallow this to see Mr. Jones back up here walking these hallowed halls.
These hallowed halls! That good, God-fearing white men used to be the only ones could walk these hallowed halls. Oh, but wait.
By God, when you change your mind, you should have been screaming in the speaker's ear going, I'm a no-vote, sir. How does that affect your life? If Brian Kerry was standing here, I would be telling Brian Kerry, you should have went to the speaker and said, I'm changing my vote. And if it put us at 65, somebody would have taken you behind the dais and explained to you why this is important. But it would have given us the opportunity to not throw the rest of us under the bus. I've been called a racist, a misogynist, a white supremacist.
I just love this
more
part.
In the last 2 months of my life than I had my entire life. By golly, I'm biting my tongue. But I'm telling you, Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, those days are wearing thin right now. And I'm going to have to swallow this to see Mr. Jones back up here walking these hallowed halls that the greats of Tennessee stood in and watched them disrespect this state that I chose to move to.
Carpetbagger.
By golly, it's got to stop. I'm sorry for getting angry here. My father was D-Day plus four, and he fought for this freaking country.
This freaking country? Your daddy would have slapped the spit out of your mouth for referring to as this freaking country. Your daddy fought fascists, and you became one, you shitbird.
And many of his friends died. You gotta do what's right. Even if you think it might be wrong, you gotta do what's right. And you gotta protect this freaking republic here in Tennessee. Or, you know...
Wait. You gotta do what's right even if you think it's wrong? Well, the corollary to that is you got to do what's wrong even if you think what it's right. And everything they did was wrong, but they thought it was right. So they, by God, did it. Oh, he's... And this guy is... Sapicki, representing Scott Sapicki. He's Sapicki! They'd probably call him a Yankee behind his back. That's how it is down there. And those two, they disrespected this state that I chose to move to. How? Anybody want to help here? How were they disrespecting the state of Tennessee? By suggesting that something needs to be done about the easy access that anybody with a pulse has to semi-automatic weapons of war. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is those two members of the House, in the eyes of these pale fellows, they disrespect the House by merely being in it. They disrespect the House by having the vote. They disrespect the House by not having to step off and lower their eyes. Ecce Republicans. Ecce maggots.
Respect this state that I chose to move to. And by golly, it's got to stop. I'm sorry for getting angry here. My father was D-Day plus four, and he fought for this freaking country, and many of his friends died. You got to do what's right. Even if you think it might be wrong, you got to do what's right. And you got to protect this freaking republic here in Tennessee, or you know what? Let's all go to hell home. I'm getting freaking gray hair sitting here listening to this bullshit. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm getting sick of this. Do the right thing for the people.
Wait. You apologize for saying bullshit. I'm sorry. I apologize. No! He's disrespected the hallowed halls of the Tennessee Capitol. Somebody file a motion. He done said the bovine excrement word. He must be removed.
People of Tennessee, and will come out smelling like a roast. Fight for the people of Tennessee.
How about the dead people of Tennessee? How about the dead children of Tennessee? How about a dead custodian? How about a dead principal? How about a dead substitute teacher? No, well, they're dead. They don't need fought for anymore. Jeremy. I done got Jeremy worked up. Lincoln. What did the North and Lincoln have as a tool that the South primarily didn't? Hint, it was a form of text messaging. And balloons. Jeremy adding, wait, this creep just admitted he's been called these terms more now than in any part of other part of his life. Therefore, he admits it's been done before. Maybe he should have believed them when they originally told him what he was. You know, you don't, once you do a racist thing, you don't have to stay a racist for the rest of your life. You can renounce it. And go forward and try to do better in the rest of your days.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen because they like the power. It's about the power. Jack in Shreveport says pronouns, our. When I hear the word our used by those such as the Tennessee Audio you're playing, I can't help but hear it as a pronoun that applies only to a certain subset of Americans. It's the same usage of that pronoun we hear when maggots utter, we've got to take our country back. P.S. Local news airs segments that cover various nearby Civil War reenactments with people, including kids, uttering misinformation with no pushback at all by the reporter or the host. Of course not. You can't have, but not, they might get upset and attack the reporter. It's not like that would be the first time. Yet more on that in a moment. Steve in New York, Republic of Tennessee, did I hear that right? Not quite. They're fighting for the whole Republic of the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God, by standing up for the Second Amendment in Tennessee. Yeah, Steve correcting him. Oh, I made a mistake. I think it was the people of Tennessee. And they'll thank us for it. Well, at least the white ones will. I know that was a long clip, and but it is informative. When you get a chance to hear these maggots when they think no one is listening. I mean, I guess we give them bonus points for not screaming that word left and right. That's because to use an older comparison, your wool hat redneck racists of the old South were the Klan. But your bankers and your doctors and your dentists and your pharmacists and your lawyers and your accountants, they were a member of the White Citizens Council. These guys are White Citizens Council types. I saw a photograph the other day of a couple of hooded Klansmen. The child in their arms also done up in a little kitty version of a Klan get up. If we say nothing else of what this program has accomplished over the course of 20 years, and I hope there's much more to say, it is that we were way the heck out in front of pointing out the fact that this country has a far deeper fascism problem than it dares to even think about. That one guy, Sapicki, talking about his daddy being there on D-Day plus four, and how a lot of his friends died. Well, Sapicki, you'll never hear this, you dumbass, and more's the pity. You racist piece of crap. But your daddy's friends died fighting fascists. Your daddy's friends died fighting people who think like you, Sapicki. And you're too damn dim not to be a fascist in your own right. Told you it was going to be a Moran Monday. We're well past the halfway mark of the program. And we are trying to get down below $1,300 in fundraising and keep all the little plates spinning on all the little sticks so that I can keep a roof over our heads here, keep the lights on, the internet going. Keep the car safe for me, my family, and the little people who ride around in it. And if we could raise another $100 will be fully funded for last Tuesday. And that would be huge. Now off to Oklahoma, Stan. By the way, the PayPal button is at headon.live if you want to help out. Off to Oklahoma, Stan, where somebody else done got recorded. Somebody got caught saying the quiet part out loud again. There's a newspaper in Oklahoma, Stan, called the McCurtain Gazette News. And that paper has reported that McCurtain County Sheriff Kevin Clardy, his investigator Alicia Manning, and the Commissioner for District 2, Mark Jennings, just had a little informal conversation. Then it got caught. It was recorded. The McCurtain Gazette has the recording. The FBI has the recording. The Oklahoma Attorney General's office also has the recording. What is the recording? Yeah, well, this might be a little bit complicated, but it's similar enough to what just went, what you just heard went down in Tennessee. That, well, if the Tennessee legislators were white citizens council types, these are your wool hat Klansmen. There's a lawsuit pending by the reporter for the McCurtain Gazette against the sheriff's office. The reporter is Chris Willingham. There's bad blood because Chris Willingham is being a reporter and, well, the high sheriff, the county commissioner, and the investigator don't like the reporting. So at one point in time in the recording, I should say, Alicia Manning says she needs to take some packages to a shipping place, you know, kind of like how we get the mail at the UPS store over in Beckley. And how the shipping place is right near the newspaper office. And in the recording, Jennings speaks to Manning. Jennings is the county commissioner. Clardy is the sheriff. Manning is the investigator. Jennings says to Manning, "Oh, you're talking about how you can't control yourself?" And Alicia Manning says, "Yeah, I ain't worried about what he's going to do to me. I'm worried about what I might do to him." And Commissioner Jennings then begins talking about his 86-year-old daddy, who, as 86-year-old right-wing men are prone to do, got all head up about something he done seen in the newspaper. And once started to go down there and just kill him, meaning Chris Willingham. And Jennings then says, "I know where two big deep holes are here if you ever need them." And then the sheriff says, "Well, I got an excavator." And Commissioner Jennings says, "Well, these are already pre-dug." And Jennings then goes off and starts talking about how he can hire him a hitman down in Louisiana. Then they start talking about taking out some of the local judges. And then, just as I was describing in the Tennessee story,
They went there. You know what? Back in the day, a damn black guy could be beaten and put in jail. And Sheriff Clardy says, yeah, it's not like that no more. And Commissioner Jenkins says, you know, black people got more rights than others now. Take them down a mud creek and hang them with the damn rope. But you can't do that anymore. They got more rights than we got. Well, the maggot governor of Oklahoma, Stan, who's signing bigoted legislation left and right, restricting the rights of women to access reproductive care in Oklahoma, Stan, trying to detransition trans people who are full-grown adults, among other things. Well, Governor Kevin Stitt, maggot governor, got wind of the tapes and, whoo, he got mad. Because, again, they said the quiet part out loud. Stitt's demanding the resignation of Sheriff Clardy, Commissioner Jennings, Investigator Manning, and the administrator of the jail, Larry Hendricks. Governor Stitt issued a statement and said, I'm both appalled and disheartened to hear of the horrid comments made by officials in McCurtain County. There is simply no place for such hateful rhetoric in the state of Oklahoma. Liar! Especially by those that serve to represent the community through their respective office. I will not stand idly by while this takes place.
Well, he can demand resignation still hell freezes over. Because you know what? I bet if there was a trial, he probably couldn't get a conviction.
I'm calling on the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation to investigate.
And so, as of today, protests are taking place in front of the McCurtain County Commissioner's Office, holding signs that say silence is not an option, holding signs that say resign now. But understand, that language.
There's no place in Oklahoma for this.
Are you kidding? The entire state of Oklahoma is a place for that, with the exception of a few dear, of you know, some decent people that I know personally, who are powerless over this kind of behavior.
I hate that. There's no place in Oklahoma.
Obviously there is, because they never would have said it if there was no place in Oklahoma for that. But that takes us to Talibama, where over the weekend, in a little place called Dadeville, about 45 minutes to the northeast of Montgomery, there is a public event Saturday night. And somebody just started shooting. Bunch of people shot. I think 4 dead. And Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw K. Ivey said, there is no place in Alabama for this, for violence. Honey. Governor. You were making N-word jokes when you were a little co-ed at Auburn. The entire history of the state of Talibama is a history of violence. From the genocide of the indigenous people who lived there, to the murder of the aforementioned Viola Liuzzo,
to the lynchings and the strange fruit in the trees. That continues, yea, verily, unto this very day. But I guess this somehow absolves Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw from having to actually do anything about the violence. There is no place for violence in the state of Alabama. Like hell. And then somebody shot into a crowd of hundreds of people in a park in Louisville. A couple more people killed, more people shot. And the way the Republican Party nationally responds to this pandemic of gun violence tells you that they kind of know what's going on and they like it. You know, as long as it's not good Republican voters getting killed, you understand. This country is bleeding. And it's almost as though we don't understand why. Well, some do. And then there's a man in Maine. It's not always Taliban or Tennistan or Oklahomistan. Forty-five-year-old Charles Barnes is being charged with violation of the Maine Civil Rights Act. Because 45-year-old Charles Barnes left a voicemail for a 32-year-old black woman. 45-year-old Charles Barnes said, I'm waiting for someone to step outside, and the first one who does is going to die. I don't care if it's a kid or her boyfriend. I don't care. I'm killing me that word. The Office of the Attorney General of Maine, Aaron Fry is the AG, said, the defendant's statements amount to an outrageous threat of violence against the victim and all persons of color. My office will take action under the Maine Civil Rights Act to enjoin racist threats that cause fear in our community and to prevent such threats from escalating into acts of violence. So the woman got the threat in her voicemail. She called police. Police came and arrested him for terrorizing. And so the criminal case is in its early days. And so the AG has sued civilly to get an injunction to prevent the defendant from having any contact with either the victim or her family. This is where we are. Oh, by the way, this story's been laying around for a little bit. Let's get this out of the way on More In Monday. The Missouri Supreme Court heard a disciplinary case against an 86-year-old lawyer. Now, the 86-year-old lawyer, Dan K. Purdy, according to the Kansas City Star, has been indefinitely suspended from practicing law, but will be allowed to apply for reinstatement after a year. So they didn't disbar him. He was a criminal defense attorney, Purdy it was. He was in the Vernon County, Missouri jail interview room in September 2020. God, so gross. When he made sexual advances on four clients. that involved touching and kissing, and each woman was later interviewed by officers and told them that no, they were not, the advances were unwanted. He also made sexual abuse contact in his car, where the women in question were unable to object. On the Supreme Court of the state of Missouri, there are 4 men and 3 women. 3 of the justices were appointed by Democratic governors. 4 of them were appointed by MAGA governors. And the Missouri Supreme Court said, nah, we're not going to disbar him. And the weird part is, it didn't break along party lines. Justice Zell M. Fisher, dissenting, said, in my view, neither the race, gender, ethnicity, nor age of an attorney should be taken into consideration to determine appropriate discipline. In my view, Mr. Purdy's conduct, which was clearly and explicitly depicted in the video evidence, warrants disbarment. As recognized by the principal opinion, not only did Mr. Purdy sexually assault 6 female clients, he exhibited a continued pattern or practice of improper and disturbing conduct, which continued even after the present case was filed against him. They still let him walk. Some privilege, that white male privilege. And there is some good news. You may well be familiar with this. A young man got sent by his mama over to pick up his siblings. It was April the 13th. His mama gave him the address. The address was a road that ends in the word terrace. He went to the same address on a road that ended in street. It was like 9th Terrace and 9th Street. He went to the wrong place. And when he rang the doorbell, an old white man came to the door and opened fire through the glass. Ralph Jarl is 16 years old, and he has fought for his life, shot in the head and shot in the arm. Now, this is the 17th day of April, 2023. The shooting happened on the 13th, and it has taken this long for the old white man, 85 years old, to be charged with anything. And he has been charged with first-degree assault and armed criminal action, but not, oddly enough, oddly, with attempted murder. The Clay County prosecutor, Zachary Thompson, he said, defendant's charged with a felony. It's the highest level of offense in the state of Missouri. It's a felony. It carries with it a range of punishment of 10 to 30 years or life in prison. Other charges may not carry that same level of punishment. Doesn't mean they can't be charged, too. And part of the outrage behind this is that the cops did come and take the 85-year-old man off to jail. But they put it was just an investigation hold on him. And after 24 hours, they let him go. And at the time, the chief of police, Stacy Graves of Kansas City, said, yeah, the information that we have now, it does not say that it's racially motivated. That's still an active investigation. But as a chief of police, I do recognize the racial components of this case. I do recognize and understand the community's concern.
gets exhausting. And thank you. Thank you to Women Standing. We are now down below $1,300. We have $80 to go to finish funding for last Tuesday. So thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Roger. Roger sent me along the breaking news about Andrew Lester, the 85-year-old, being charged with first-degree assault and armed criminal action. That reminds me, there are weird wrinkles in state laws. Every state has them. And what the prosecutor said about the Class A felony versus attempted murder. Here's a funny one for you. In the state of West Virginia, attempted murder is a misdemeanor. Unless it is specific, unless it's been changed in the many years since I was doing it, unless it is specified to be attempted first-degree murder. So if there was something that was a lesser charge, it might have given a jury an out. I don't know the law of the state of Missouri. So I don't know if the prosecutor's explanation holds water. Yeah, Jude says Women Standing donated for 16-year-old Ralph Jarl. Shot by simply going to the wrong address. I just saw that, Robin. Tragic. So tragic. It is. And look, when an 85-year-old man goes to the door with a gun in his hand and starts shooting and shoot first and ask questions later, he did not get to be that fearful and paranoid all by himself. This is the rankest kind of speculation on my part, I freely confess it, but I will bet you at some part of any given day that Andrew Lester is sitting there being fear-mongered by Fox News or Newsmax or any one of the God only knows how many right-wing broadcast outlets that there are. I feel really confident in saying that. Thank you, Christopher. Christopher just jumped in and got us down to 1375, so it's been a rough winter. I'll be kicking in more. I know a little bit about rough winters, Christopher, and I thank you so much for helping. I'm still laboring under the lash of Appalachian power. I was thinking about that yesterday, actually, while I was working on the oxtail soup. Thinking, I got to figure out a way to do something about how we heat this house before the next winter. Because all this electricity is not sustainable. Ralph Jarl, the kid in Missouri. Steve in New York says, were guns much harder to obtain as they should be? He wouldn't have had one. Lester wouldn't have. He wouldn't have shot the kid. The kid wouldn't be fighting for his life. And the only thing the kid would probably be dealing with is an old white man who said a bunch of racial epithets. No, why are you here? What are you looking for? Who are you? No, just bang, bang. And I understand a little bit about this because we live in a house that just somehow people feel like, hey, they might know something if they're lost or looking for somewhere. I live on a road that has, it's basically a great big humongous winding, twisting U. And people get lost. They pull up. They knock on the door.
Hey, you know where so-and-so lives?
Yeah, on out the road. You know, you go out till you see a field. There's a log cabin, and there's a field with a bunch of goats in it. Go past the goats. Turn left at the llama farm. And one of those happened today. And I answered the door. I don't know the man's name. Didn't shoot him. He's an older man. And you could see the pain in his eyes. And he began to explain to me that he'd been looking for his little doggy. And it turned out, he said, I found it. And whoever hit him had meant to, because he was all the way over on the side of the road. He never went out in the road. And he said, was there a dead cat out in the road here right close to your house yesterday? I said, yes, sir, there was. We took her out of the road. He said, well, I seen that one, and I seen a couple more on out the road toward where I live. And I said, yeah, I saw one yesterday out on the main road. He said, I think somebody is running around here deliberately hitting animals with their cars or with their car, some kind of a dark-colored car, and they go real fast. I said it's odd, but I had the very same thought yesterday, and I heard it, and Annette heard it, and our hearts were just broken for him. That was his best friend. And some little asshole killed it. And he's an old fella. And I doubt if he's going to get a puppy, because it'd probably outlive him. But again, didn't shoot him. Because, well, we don't do that here. But then again, we're not sitting around watching Fox News getting the living bejesus scared out of us. Crime in this country! I mean, the same thing happened today. Not the same thing, but the maggots who took their hearing to New York to the Javits Federal Building. And the maggots found themselves a witness. And Representative Daniel Goldman, who is a New Yorker, took the maggots' witness. Well, he's a good lawyer, and he examined her. And she knew. He got the better of her. Maybe a Tennessee Republican say, he had a couple of cracks at her. But the Republicans brought in these victims of crime. All in an attempt to intimidate Alvin Bragg, as we discussed.
Doing that. When people think of the United States, they think of this city, as was talked about earlier. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. But underneath all of those twinkling lights, something is not right in New York City. Shootings in Times Square, robberies in broad daylight, stabbings on the subway.
What about Ohio?
I got into a cab yesterday.
Oh, wait. He's going to tell.
Daylight, stabbings on the subway. I got into a cab yesterday. And the gentleman who was driving had been doing it for 25 years. And without knowing who I was or why I was here, he proceeded to talk about the city. And he said, "This city has changed." And I asked him what he meant by that. And he immediately started talking about the crime. "It's gotten so bad, it's out of control." This, unfortunately, is what we get in Joe Biden's America and Alvin Bragg's New York City. To the good people of New York, we hear you. We are here in New York today because we want to hear from you, and we hope that your local leaders start to listen to you as well.
Going
to
hold hearings in Jim Jordan's district? Because they got three times as bad a rate of crime. You going to do that? No, of course not. Going to hold a hearing in Dadeville, Alabama, where four people got gunned down Saturday night? Going to hold a hearing for the people who got gunned down in Louisville? No. Well, wait a minute. They might hold one in Louisville because they've got a Democratic member of the House. So we'll move on from the speechifying and get to Daniel Goldman here.
Earlier that you are only hearing about Donald Trump from one side and not the other. But I want to tell you that that's very, very intentional, because they know that they are using taxpayer money to defend a private citizen in his own criminal investigation, and that that is an abuse of their power. The day before this investigation began, public reporting revealed that Donald Trump and his legal team directed House Republicans to initiate an investigation into Alvin Bragg. And they're now scrambling to justify this investigation with after-the-fact explanations, including the preposterous explanation that he spent $5,000 of federal money on this years-long investigation. They have spent many multiples of that amount of money on this hearing alone in order to hold it in Manhattan. Now, I've asked the chairman and other members of House leadership to tell the American public what kind of collusion they have been doing with Donald Trump to use the power of this committee and of this Congress to interfere in this prosecution. They have thus far refused. But we will learn about that collusion, because the Manhattan District Attorney has a lawsuit against the chairman, and they will be able to compel disclosure of the communication and coordination as part of that lawsuit. But that's why we are here, and that's what we want to emphasize to you. And we're not insulting you. Your experiences are devastating. But the problem is that this is a charade to cover up for an abuse of power that they are going around talking incessantly outside of this hearing about Donald Trump. And the purpose of this hearing is to cover up for what they know to be an inappropriate investigation. Now, I look forward, many of you are
in
New York City.
Can I respond to you, please?
No, not right now, because I only have 20 seconds. I'm sorry. But I do
don't
want to
talk. Don't insult my intelligence. That you're not.
Hang on. The gentleman's time.
I'm not insulting
you. You're trying to insult me like I'm not aware of what's going on here.
Thank you.
Okay?
I'm
fully aware of what's going on here.
Gentlemen, I will suspend. Okay? Gentleman gets another 15 seconds.
Thank you.
That's why I walked away from the plantation of the Democratic Party.
Committee will be in order.
Is that you, Velveeta King?
Is that Katie Owens? Is that as a representative of this city, I look forward to working with you, with Ms. Harrison, Mr. Holden, Mr. Borgen, all of you who are involved and engaged in our criminal justice system, because, as I said and my colleagues have referenced,
we have
a problem, not only in New York City, but around the country.
Gentleman's time
so
has
hopefully
expired.
We can Gentleman work together back. To make, reach real solutions, not
gentlelady,
charades
gentlelady
like
from,
this.
Gentlelady from back. New York, Ms. Stefanik, is recognized.
Yeah, because they brought Elise Stupidnik with them, too. That's why I left the Democrat Party plantation. Wrong accent. Yeah. You can see what a circus that was, or you can hear. Don't say see on a radio show, Robin. Don't do that. And everybody seems to not be falling for Jim Jacketoff Jordan's narrative. You know, of course, the guy lied about men under his
supervision being raped by a team doctor, so maybe that affects his wider credibility. But the hearing in Manhattan was a topic of conversation for Jake Tapper with a guy from Florida, namely Mike Waltz. He said, let's start with the House Judiciary Committee in New York City today. They're being critical of the Manhattan District Attorney, saying he's soft on crime, lots of people testifying about their experiences, victims of their family members, victims. Democrats are calling it a political stunt, and they say it's being undertaken to slam Bragg because he's prosecuting Donald Trump and not other criminals. What's your take on it?
Well, I think there's a bigger story out here, and that crime is at crisis levels across our inner cities.
Blah, 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 but bless his little heart, Jake Tapper said, I take your point, and it's horrible what's happening nationwide, although the statistics differ here and there. I mean, for example, you represent Florida's sixth... Oh, this is going to sting. You represent Florida's 6th Congressional District. It's between Jacksonville and Orlando. Both of them have higher homicide rates than New York City. That's according to an analysis from the conservative organization WirePoints. New York City, statistically, is one of the safest big cities in the country in terms of murder, and that's why I think this focus on New York might look political to some. Might. And then Mike Waltz says,
yeah, but what about the assaults in the subways?
Because, of course, neither Orlando nor Jacksonville has a subway.
And by the way, Orlando's run by Democrats. That explains the crime.
There are days. But we are well into the third hour of the program, trying to get down below 1375. I'm sorry, 1275. Another $75, and we're funded fully for last Tuesday, and we can work on last Wednesday. Be great if we could get there. Thank you to everyone who does jump in. You know this is a... I hate this. And by the way, just a quick, before I go to the phones... We have a Paul Gosar, Demon Dentist of the Desert, sighting. Yesterday, in his weekly newspaper to constituents, he included a link to a story that was favorable to him. The title of the story was Congressman Gosar, Warmongers Newland and Blinken Are Dangerous Fools Who Can Get Us All Killed. Talking about Putin's war against the innocent people of Ukraine. The problem was that wasn't the actual original headline of the story. The Demon Dentist of the Desert staff dummied the headline up because the original headline read, Congressman... Jewish warmongers Newland and Blinken are dangerous fools who can get us all killed. And it came from a website that is wall-to-wall Holocaust denialism and 9/11 conspiracy theories and, you know, the usual filth. The website's also heavily pro-Kremlin. And they reprint a lot of garbage from places like Russia Today and Sputnik. And in fact, the story about Gosar was originally published by Sputnik. Called on it, a creep named Rory McShane, who's a spokes creep for Paul Gosar, the Demon Dentist of the Desert, said,
he uses a third-party aggregating service for headlines, and they changed the headline on April 17th.
That just happens to be the same day that Media Matters for America called him out. A Nazi website. Having been caught, Rory McShane said, we will not be using this website as a reference for any future articles.
And Congressman Gosar is well known as one of the top advocates for the state of Israel and a defender of those of the Jewish faith across the world, and has regularly been asked to speak to Jewish advocacy groups like the International Raoul Wallenberg Foundation.
The only problem is he has a long history of doing this. Promoting the work from a guy who wound up being the unofficial propagandist for a neo-Nazi fight club. Speaking at a white nationalist conference that the same guy was on the panel for. And also has hobnobbed around with Holocaust denier and Nazi Nick Fuentes. And this was before Marginal Trailer Queen got up and rubbed elbows with Nick Fuentes. Remember, Nick Fuentes is the young Nazi who says that it is gay for a man to have sex with a woman. That's just a way of remembering who Nick Fuentes is. And the demon dentist of the desert has a taste for white wing memes, neo-Nazi memes, white supremacist memes. Even going so far as to promote the hashtag Dark MAGA, which is largely comprised of accelerationist neo-Nazis. Paul Rockauer is the ED for the Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Phoenix. In a statement, he said, Congressman Gosar continues to show us exactly who he is and what he stands for. The man has no shame and remains a stain on Arizona's political landscape. Yeah, this is the guy whose own family campaigns against him. Let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there, hi there.
Hello there.
Hey, Tracy, what's up?
Oh, nothing. You know, I was just listening to all the shenanigans and hygiene that you've been talking about for the last, hour? Oh, shit, two and a half hours.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just give some good news.
We have good news? Yay for good news.
We have good news. A couple of them are based here in California. So, and I sent you some of the headlines, but aside from the fact that the old man is being charged with two felonies, but I'm thinking they're going to drag this out and he'll probably die before he actually goes to trial. Set aside, we could get charges. But so, I don't know if you heard about this, but they are going, 50, 60 years ago, there was a section in Palm Springs that was inhabited mostly with black and brown folks. And the city of Palm Springs didn't serve eviction owners or nothing. They just came in and bulldozed the neighborhood and set it on fire, displacing, I forget how many people. Well, they are, of course, they do the requisite resources, but the people are actually going after the city of Palm Springs for, $2 billion. So I think it was like 40 or 50 homes. It was an entire neighborhood that they just destroyed with no warning or anything like that, So that's that part. Second part, there's a medical school here. The first, we consider it a HBCU. And Carol Drew University, and they're actually going to have their first year of having black doctors, trained black doctors on the West Coast, because they're trying to do something to, add diversity in the medical profession. So that's another good news. And also Pauli Murray, who was a queer black woman, who was actually also a trailblazer in the civil rights movement, because you don't hear about her. Because, a black woman, she's being honored on the back of a quarter.
Nice.
So, you know, you have to, you know, because, yeah, I actually physically got ill when you were talking about the lawyer that was sexually assaulting his client. Now, my question is, were these black women? Were these women of color or what?
They were women. There's no reference to their skin color in the story.
To their ethnic makeup. When you said this, because I'm thinking, I'm picturing, what is that, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons?
Oh, no. Not Mr. Burns.
Because of course I'm driving, so it's not like I can look this guy up, but that's who automatically, you know, flashed this in my brain. And I'm just thinking about I felt revolted. It was just like, oh my God, because it's just like, especially for someone like me who has gone through stuff like that, it's just, aside from the violation of your personhood, and this is supposed to be your attorney, so this is supposed to be somebody that you trust. But you said this guy was over 80 years old?
Yes.
So I'm just thinking of 86. So I'm thinking about what 86-year-olds look and smell like.
Don't. I've not had dinner.
I'm sorry, but, really physically felt like I was about to throw up. Because the combination, like I said, of the sexual, you know, the betrayal of trust and some icky, gross, old,
again, what crawls all over me with this, it didn't break along party lines. Problematic.
Right. Problematic.
B, I don't even know that it broke along gender lines, which is odd.
Oh, that part.
But C, and quite possibly most important, there was video evidence. They saw him doing what he did.
And he's not being disbarred.
Right.
Or better yet, he's not going to jail. I don't care how old he is. You know? Just the itch, you growth factor. With everything else, it's just, by the way, while I was listening to you, because I kind of lost track of time, because as I was on my way to get up the kids, I'm like, I'm going to get home early because the twins didn't ride today. Hip hip hooray, right? So we're, I go my normal way on the 101 south through the Cahuenga Pass, and the Cahuenga Pass comes to a dead stop. And nobody can figure out. So I got off the freeway because I'm like, well, it must be something on the freeway. So I would try to get on Cahuenga Boulevard. That was at a dead stop. 20 minutes of not moving. And we have surmised that it was probably because our vice president is in town, and they can't tell us where she's traveling to because, security reasons. So I saw CHP, a whole bunch of CHP motorcycle cops. So I'm thinking, because I believe she's going downtown for something because our mayor, Karen Bass, is going to do the state of the city, her first 100 days as mayor of Los Angeles. So she's doing a state of the city address. And when she was sworn in, Kamala Harris swore her in, I believe. So I think I'm pretty sure they're like Ace Boom Boom, Homegirls, so she might be here to, hang out with her homegirl, which, I don't have a problem with that, except for when you cause a 20 to 30 minute, you know, traffic delay. That's a problem in the middle of rush hour. Because L.A. traffic is horrific anyway, horrendous or whatever. And then my girl decides, I'm going to start moving around the city of Los Angeles at, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that was fun. But I just, you know, I've been listening to you about all the shootings. And I couldn't really understand the recording. It didn't come across quite well over the internet. So what was that? Was it there plotting?
You're talking about the Tennessee Republicans?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a surreptitiously made recording. That's why it was hard to get all the detail out of.
Also, was it like, what, you know, the recording?
The maggots didn't know they were being recorded.
These people are just stupid, ain't they?
Well, they were letting their hair down, as Republicans will. But the funniest part of it all is that the Black Caucus of Tennessee lawmakers has since responded to what the White Caucus, I mean, come on, Republicans, please.
Right. Wait, there's no Black Tennessee Republicans in the State House?
No.
Are you serious? There's not one?
No,
Maybe. Everybody got one.
Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know. The Daily Wire is headquartered in Tennessee. That may be where. Maybe Candio's going to run. Tennessee GOP. Tennessee GOP needs him a token.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta. Everybody should own at least one.
Quit it.
Nope.
Sam McKenzie from Knoxville is the chairman of the Black Caucus of the Tennessee House. And he and Representative Antonio Parkinson and Representative Jesse Chisholm, both are from Memphis, and they were all targeted in the blathering on the recording. They said, well, they were disappointed. They were disappointed.
Disappointed?
Yeah.
Oh.
And McKenzie said, you know, these are just Republicans trying to drum up their base. You can't find it. It didn't happen. You can't find it. It didn't happen. They're trying to drum up their base. To tell flat lies is wrong. I've never called them a white supremacist. I've never called them a racist anytime, anywhere. I value my relationships. And for someone to just randomly tell a lie like that is disappointing, disingenuous, and speaks to their character. Ooh, that's the functional equivalent of saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed. You know, when people say I'm disappointed, I'd rather you be mad at me.
And so Representative Parkinson said, it's a little disappointing. My name was called when I've never called any individual in the Tennessee House a racist publicly. Never. For them to say that, it's unfortunate and it's false. It's just not the truth. They got some soul searching to do. Ooh.
But it's like, it's like, you know, like when they were doing, when the Justins were answering, you know, 2 weeks ago to the charges or what have you, it's like, I'm not calling y'all racist. I'm just asking people to look at what you're doing. And if your actions are racist, but I'm, you know, what you're doing is racist, but I never once called you. You know, I don't have to say or do anything. Y'all are doing it for me. When you expel, you know, you go after three folks, but the white lady gets to say it, the two young brothers have to go. So, yeah, that's not, you know, I'm not saying that's racist. I'm not anybody else. I mean, everybody else is saying it racist. I never said it was racist.
Well,
Representative Chisholm said it came off as having racial undertones, even to the point where it's kind of funny, because in the video they confirmed that what I said in the press conference and went on, Parkinson did. He said, you know, there have been some things that have happened in this body that have been racist-ish. Like when we tried to get the bust of General Nathan Bedford Forrest removed from the Capitol, you know, the father of the Klan. And then that time they attacked Tennessee State University and Glenda Glover, the president, for housing problems of student overflow. Or then there was Representative Paul Sherrill who wanted to, and this was recently, wanted to renew hanging by a tree as a form of capital punishment in Tennessee.
Oh!
Or the time when another member of the White Caucus of the Tennessee State Legislature, I'm sorry, talked about black folks eating fried chicken.
Mm. No watermelon?
You're not making my job any easier.
What?
I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. I mean, Nashville is famous for its fried chicken. And I hate to break it to the Republican White Caucus, but white folks eat it too.
And I know they've eaten a slice of watermelon at a time, or Keith.
Oh, I can't wait till the good stuff starts coming in. You know, you don't get.
Right?
At least I will not. I will. They'll have it in the store. I will not buy watermelon during the winter. Because it's going to be all pale and flavorless. And I don't even like the seedless watermelon. I don't think it's got the sweetness. I don't think it's got the flavor. And I don't mind spitting seeds. I figured out fairly early on when I was little that they were lying to me when they said if I swallowed a watermelon seed, a watermelon vine would grow in my tummy.
Yeah, I shouldn't believe that lie either.
It's not by way of making excuse, but God, it's like they can't help themselves. It's like some sort of racism Tourette's that these dudes have.
I know. It's like, dude, seriously. And when they get all butthurt, when they get called out on it, it just blows my mind. It just when you have folks that are just out and out, and then like you said, they just get so upset. But see, it's when you hear racist stuff like this, and you know that is why when. That video that I sent you about the white woman sitting on the black woman and the entire can of whoop ass that was opened up on her, it makes you feel that there is a modicum of justice in the world. For those of you, I don't know where this was. There's a video and I sent it to Robin. And I don't know when it happened, but apparently there was a black woman in the lobby at the Days Inn in whatever city, whatever state. And, you know, they have, most of these places have those sort of kind of continental breakfasts that you, it might be, you know, some Danish in the plastic bag or whatever, some fruit. And if you're lucky, maybe you get to one of the places that actually has, the waffle iron thingy going on. Well, anyway, so the black woman's on the phone talking. And I guess she was going over to the breakfast area in the lobby. And the white woman walks up to her and tells her that she can't eat there and that she has to leave. Now, granted, the white woman that is saying all this stuff is not an employee. And even the employee on the video is telling her, I can't, I can't tell her she has to leave. And so the black woman, she's actually, as she's on the phone, with all this is going on, And while she's on the phone and videoing or what have you, the white woman walked, you know, kept, you know, got in her face and all this, and walked up to her and spit in her face. Now, y'all have to, you can't see the video unless you find it. I'm pretty sure you can find it somewhere. So the black woman, now this woman has skills. It took basically a few seconds for her to start mollywopping the white woman. And they, and, I mean, this woman has skills. While she is whooping on this white woman's ass, she is still holding the phone, videoing, and going, I don't know if you've ever heard a beating when a black parent or anybody beats a child, and I'm, again, not condoning violence, but she, what is it, is like, I bet you won't. And with each syllable was landing blows. And next thing you know, the white woman is on the floor cowering, crying, I'm sorry, sorry. And the black woman's like, I bet you're sorry. You weren't sorry when you spit in my face. And then proceeds to start, I think she started kicking her. Again, not condoning violence, but that white woman assaulted the sister. And to walk up to her with the floor, it wasn't like, you know, it was on the slide that she spit in this woman's face. She walked up in that woman's and got into that woman's face and spit in her face. She's lucky the only thing she got was an ass whooping. And so every so often, so I have that video saved on my phone. So whenever, especially like for me working in customer service, because I'm not about to whoop up on a white woman or anybody unless I'm defending myself. But every time I get annoyed or somebody says, or Karen tries to say something stupid to me, I'm going to watch that video as a release. Am I awful, Robin?
No, that's called catharsis.
Okay, thank you.
One of them fancy Greek words.
Right. But just to watch that woman, I think because you watched the video, and the way she just walked up on this black woman, like, how dare you be black in my space? And I'm going to show you that I'm in charge here, and I'm just going to run up on you and spit in your face.
Which is exactly what she did.
Who does that? Right. Who does that? Who? It's just, again, I just can't.
Well, I mean, this is just FAFO material, you know?
Right. Say what material?
FAFO. F-A-F-O. Fuck around. Find out.
Oh, okay. Because conversely, because I guess, you know, what's his name in Texas just gave a young black man 70-year, he got a 70-year prison sentence for spitting at the police. So, 70 years.
Yeah. And then New York today, goofy woman from Wyoming accusing a witness of secretly smiling at the Democrats.
Right. It's like, what the hell? And who was that, this woman screaming about, that's why I got off the plantation, the Democratic Party plantation?
Yeah.
Who was that woman?
She was one of the canned witnesses called by the Republicans today at their stupid little hearing in New York.
A New Yorker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They found them a black Republican woman in New York. And she's one of those hard cases who buys into the right wing rhetoric of what was it called? Dem exit. So in other matters, just to find, hey, how's school going?
Going okay. Other than my teacher who thinks that, you know, Hitler and Castro and Stalin were great leaders.
What?
I thought I talked about that.
Uh-uh.
So, this is the first week of school, you know, I called an exception to our textbook, because thus far, the last three sessions, our textbooks have been written by people of color and talking about, changing the paradigm of what leadership looks like and what it should look like to be, you know, more inclusive to, you know, people who look like me, people who look like you, you know, stuff like that. And so the textbook that we have this session was written by a white man who works in the extraction business, being, you know, at one point either oil or mining. And, you know, working in places where they go to different countries and steal their natural resources, you know, under the banner of, I don't know, capitalism. And so I took exception to the book, and I voiced my opinion. And so when I said something, my professor's like, well, why do you have a problem with the textbook? And I said this up because, you know, this program is supposed to be about, you know, sustainability, again, diverse community development leadership, changing the way people, you know, leadership is perceived, woo-de-woo-woo-de-woo, you know. And he's like, so your objection is moral? And I'm like, okay, that's for sure. He's like, I'm surprised I didn't tell you about this. Oh, that's right. You know what? Because I really hadn't talked to you guys. So he said, I need to take the morality out of leadership. Robin, hello? Is this thing on? Hello?
No, I'm right here. I'm listening.
No. And so that just opened up a whole, you know, everybody was like, blah, 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 blah. And so we have a group chat that's outside of the class. And this is the first time that we have actually activated that group chat during class. And so we were like, oh, my God, what is going on? And so I kind of left it alone, right? And so then the next class session, because he's like, you know, and that's when he brought up, so he said, well, you know, there have been great leaders that may not have been very moral or ethical. And first he brought up, you know, Castro, and then he brought up Hitler, and then the group chat, I said, no, and then he brought up Stalin, and then I texted the group chat, don't say Hitler. And as soon as I texted it, he said, Hitler. And we all just fell out, right? So the following week, you know, I had just basically decided to be disengaged, to do my homework, and not engage in
this
the
is,
class.
This is an academic theory called shut up and pass the class.
Right. But then he started talking against this, and I said, you know, Professor, excuse me for interrupting, because I've actually been thinking about this over the last week, and I actually have been. And I said, I find it troubling. I said, because again, this whole degree, this master's program is so we could, you know, it's all about changing, again, the paradigm of leadership, that, you know, get it, and how, and to make it, you know, leadership, you know, because at the current model of leadership, there's really nobody in leadership that looks like me, that looks like, you know, the majority of this class. I said, I'm a queer Black woman. And there's not, I don't see many openly queer Black women in leadership. I mean, Lori Lightfoot got, you know, voted out of office as mayor of Chicago, you know? And so I'm like, this is what we're trying to change. So I said, and so if that's the case, shouldn't morality and ethics be, because I said, because at the current model, because right now, since we have no morality or ethics, this is why, and I listed, you know, we have global warming. We don't have a living wage. Healthcare most people don't have access to health care. Most people don't have, you know, and, you know, the list goes on and on. So don't you think it's important? It should be important? And it took everything I had not to say, especially as a black man, which I didn't say, it took everything I had not to say that
Oh,
part.
Wait, hold on. No, stop it.
Oh, I forgot to mention he's black. I'm sorry. Wait to bear the lead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I just did the Captain Picard face. Well, I got a follow up for you.
Okay.
In Tennessee, because we've only got a little bit of time left, but in Tennessee, a right wing organization has already started the robocalls against the Tennessee Three.
Yeah.
Get the hockey puck. Here we go.
Okay. Hi, this is Donna calling from Enlight, Tennessee. On April 6th, the Tennessee General Assembly voted on a resolution to expel radical liberal state reps Gloria Johnson, Justin Pearson, and Justin Jones from the General Assembly. These three radical activists posing as elected officials led an angry mob of Antifa members from all over the country and a handful of Tennesseans into your house and intended on violence. Tennessee Capitol Police reportedly confiscated everything from pipe bombs to brass knuckles. Enlight, Tennessee would like to thank Republican House Representative Johnny Garrett for standing up to the radical liberals and their two-tier justice system. Please, give Representative Garrett's office a call at 615-741-3893 and thank him for standing up to Tennessee conservative values. Paid for by Enlight Tennessee, who can be reached at enlighttn.org.
Disgusting. Lies. Dangerous. Stephanie Johnson was furious. Gloria Johnson. I'm sorry, not Stephanie. Gloria. She said, Antifa? Pipe bombs? I guess parents brought them in strollers with their babies and toddlers. I didn't know they made brass knuckles for children. This is disgusting, disgraceful, and it's going to get someone hurt. Which is precisely their point.
That's their point.
They got stone cold busted with the recording, and now they're doubling down. Because they cannot learn. And in the last remaining moments of the program here, the story about Ralph Jarls in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
Well, the paranoia of old white men in this country has, I think, reached a fever pitch. Washington County, New York. 65-year-old Kevin Monahan has been charged with second-degree murder. It happened,
oh, God.
It happened in Hebron, New York. Hebron's about 200 miles north of New York City. And Kaylin Gillis, 20 years old, was out on Saturday night with her friends. And they got lost. And so they pulled into a driveway to turn around, and 65-year-old Kevin Monahan allegedly came out onto his porch and fired two rounds into the car, and one of the bullets hit 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis, and she is dead.
So she didn't even go to his door.
No.
They were just, how many times have you turned? I cannot tell you. I drive a cab, and I'm constantly having to go into, and I try not to, because, you know, it's just, you know, I just try not to pull into people's driveways because I don't like it when people pull into mine. But I don't come out of the front porch to shoot them. So they didn't even ring his doorbell or anything. They just pulled into the driveway to turn around. And he walked out and shot.
Yeah. And then when the cops, when the kids drove about 6 miles, there was shitty cell service, and they told 911 what had happened, and they got emergency response team, but it was too late. She was dying. She was dead. And so the cops went. The cops went to the guy's house, and he refused to come out, and they wound up having to basically put his home under siege and negotiate with him to come out of the house.
Oh, they negotiated. So, again, white people get negotiated. They get talked down. They get de-escalated. This man shot a in cold blood, murdered this young 20-year-old child in cold blood. She will never see her 65th birthday or how old this motherfucker is.
She won't see her 21st.
He won't see her 23rd.
But this is the effect of the terrorization, the stochastic terrorization of an entire segment of the population by people, by outfits like Fox News, and by politicians like Jim Jacketoff Jordan, and God knows Donald Trump, and Ron DeSantis, and Ted Cruz, and on and on and on and on.
And Greg Abbott and
So I've only got a couple of minutes, but I would like you, and Darlene said, let Tracy finish her story about the response of her teacher after she presented her very cogent argument for morality and leadership. I think she should report the guy, but I'm not in her shoes, although I imagine she's paying big bucks for the class.
Yeah, oh, no, I've already sent it. I've already sent it a complaint. $5,000 a semester, y'all. I'm sorry, $5,040 a semester, y'all. You hear me? And this motherfucker? And so, like I said, I just... Because this is the class is Applied Leadership. I don't know if I said the name of the class. And it's like, what are you teaching? What are, because I was excited about this class, y'all, because, you know, I am, I guess, I've been called a reluctant, you know, leader. I've never held, you know, a quote unquote paid leadership position. So I was really looking forward to this class so I can learn, you know, leadership skills and, you know, stuff like that. I ain't learned shit from this motherfucker. You hear me? You know, and then this stinging, it stings even worse, more so because he's a black man. Again, I expect a certain amount of academic violence from white professors. I go with it. I mean, you know, but when it comes from one of your own, and I can kind of tell, I mean, and I'll send you a picture where he has shame for Jesse Lee Peterson.
Oh, no.
There's a resemblance. Speaking of which, did you watch any of those videos that I sent you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I know you're busy.
I caught the one about Dave Chappelle. Oh, and I need to send out thanks to I need to send out thanks to Barbara in Philadelphia. Barbara jumped in, and we are now down to 1,250. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so very much. Yay, Barbara. So we're down to 1,250.
Yay.
That means, well, Tuesday's almost funded. Only $50 away, so yay for that. And
yay for that.
I hope everything's okay and Jan's okay and, you know, y'all are doing the things you got to do.
Well, yeah, and of course I'm not going to say, but things are being handled.
Good.
Excuse me, I'll leave it at that.
Probably best.
Did you, so real quick, Because real quick, I know you got to go, sis, but tell me what you thought about the Dave Chappelle video.
Oh.
Was the brother on point?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He absolutely was. And, you know, I see a lot of Dave Chappelle clips on reels on, like, Instagram and stuff.
Right.
And it's and even when it's not the stuff that I object to, dude is gross.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a long list of the people he despises. And
you know, when, like I said, that young man, I'm sorry for those, there's this young man, I forget what his name is, he's a YouTuber, and by young man, I'm pretty sure he's a millennial, and he basically breaks the video is called Dave Chappelle GOAT, you know, as the greatest of all time, or church.
Yeah.
And...
By the way, we are discontinuing the use of TERF.
Oh, good.
Because it stands for trans exclusionary radical feminist.
Right. Well, I was just using that name so they could, if somebody was.
That's a slur. So, and it's not actually true because
the TERF.
Well, because they don't like it. Because they don't like it. They don't like actually being called out for who and what they are. And the fact of the matter is, they aren't feminists. Okay? They're not at all feminists.
No, they're not.
So the new term is feminism appropriating reactionary transphobes. Feminism appropriating reactionary transphobes, which spells fart. So if you hear me referring to the farts, it's not a gastrointestinal issue. It's feminism appropriating reactionary transphobes.
Okay, I will take that, and I'm just I just wanted you to see that there are black men. Yeah, of course you know that not to believe the hype that all black, black men are transphobic. But to see this young man, it just really gives me hope because he is, just his argument and his thesis and all that was just amazing. And he broke down Dave Chappelle and just, wow. Wow.
Yeah, and
I'm glad you like that video.
The YouTuber is FD Signifier.
Okay, thank you.
FD Signifier, and he does appear to be a millennial. And he's also on Nebula, so that's cool. Nebula's an awesome channel. But
I never heard of it.
Yeah, this particular piece is called Dave Chappelle Only Tells Half the Truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go find it, FD Signifier, Dave Chappelle Only Tells Half the Truth. So I got
to
get out of here.
And be prepared. It's about an hour. It's an hour-long video, but it's worth every minute.
Yeah, it's worth the watch. And for those who follow her, Natalie Wynn has a brand-new video out today on her experience being interviewed for a horrible podcast called The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling. Because Joanne's a victim. I know.
These people. Anyway, I love you. Y'all, y'all know what my situation is with Jan. We still don't know what's going on. But, so I can only do my monthly things. But for those of you guys who are in the position, please help a sister out. Robin, we need to hear Robin, and she can't keep doing this unless people contribute to the program. So please contribute as much as you can.
Thank you, Tracy. I do appreciate it. Love you. You have a great evening. Drive careful.
Okay. Always. Bye.
Bye. And so that's the program. Told you it was going to be a Morian Monday. Because it was. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Remember, like and subscribe on the podcast, please. Leave a comment. Press the red heart button if you listen to TuneIn Radio. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much, those of you who jumped in this evening. We got down from 1380 to 1250, so that's $130, and that helps a lot. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. I didn't see if anybody else came along. But thank you, Roger, for being there. Let me just see. I hate to ignore anyone. Let's see. The Sparky came in having folded space to become Man Cave. Thank you, Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you. Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Work continues on the 8 campaign. I'm probably going back to D.C. in June or so to work some more. It will be reintroduced, the 8 Act, and we're excited about that. It's really the key to Appalachia's future. And that's not hyperbole. Please stay safe. Get your booster while it's still free. Time is running out, if you haven't gotten it already. Wash your hands. Don't touch your feet, face. Don't touch your feet either. I don't care. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots, because they're kind of a disease-bearing lot. Not kinda. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry some with you, pocket or purse. And if somebody comes hooting and hollering down the sidewalk saying, "I left the Democrat plantation," well, avoid that maggot like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.